On the show today, we have Kingdom Mutual Group's very own Edgar Hernandez talking about some key takeaways from Kingdom Mutual Group's What Matters Now research. So check it out. Buddy Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have Kingdom Mutual Group's very own Edgar Hernandez. Edgar, how are you today? Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Michael. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, glad to have you here. And today we are talking about key takeaways from Kingdom Mutual Group's What Matters Now research. All right. You've piqued my interest just on that title alone. So tell us a little bit. Let's start out. Let's lay a little foundation here. What is the What Matters Now research? What's that all about?
Sure, sure. Well, what it is, Mike, is that we basically have started doing this about almost 7 years ago. We started in 2015. It's okay. A nationwide study that we touch on different demographic topics, right? So in 2015, we started with understanding the middle class, the middle consumer, middle market consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2016, we studied millennials, right? You know, you can't go into
everybody's. We're still studying the millennials.
We're still studying millennials, right? And then the following year, we did non-members. It was important for us to know a little bit about what non-members looked like. And then in 2018, the last kind of official study, we did the multicultural consumer.
Okay.
So it had been a while since we had done a study like this. And so we thought it was important to have a refresh. And so in 2022, this year, we decided to just give another look at that multicultural, multi-generational consumer in the U.S. And so we surveyed slightly over 9,000 consumers, you know, from all walks of life across the United States. And we also augmented that with a 35 in-depth interviews, so one-on-one interviews.
Right.
We had a third party that helped us moderate. They sent recorded videos. They did collages of images, everything around their financial lives. So it was a really, really comprehensive study.
Yeah, because my next question is like, what did you ask them? What did you guys talk about?
Well, you can imagine. You know, we asked some of the questions that we asked back in 2018, just for comparison, you know, purposes. But we also asked new things like, you know, a topic about cryptocurrency that, of course, you know, has been the news part of it. We also decided to open it up and be intentional about recruiting for two groups that we hadn't looked at before. One was the biracial consumer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is two or more races, because as you know, in the last U.S. census, that has been now sort of, you know, delineated, and it continues to grow. I think right now it's about close to 5% of the population.
Wow.
And the other group that we had a lot of interest towards the latter half of last year was Native Americans. And so, as you know, when we had credit unions come and reach out to us and say, hey, have you done any studies on the Native American consumer? We actually didn't have anything, and nor did our research partners. And so, once we selected those groups, we asked them questions about their financial lives, right? Like, what products did they have? What kept them up at night? What were some of the retirement plans? What financial instruments they have? You know, were they credit union members or non-credit union members? What was important to them in financial institutions? So we asked them, I don't know, you know, like probably over 50 to 100 questions on so many topics, right? And so there were, you know, they were just surveys, fill in the blank, choose the best criteria. And we got a chance to analyze all the data over a period of several months.
Oh, I bet. I bet you guys have a lot of data, and that's probably an understatement. So overall, from the data that you guys have already analyzed and got some findings and stuff, so what worries these consumers, kind of looking at it from a high level?
Yeah, you know, when I give presentations, you know, I start with this question. You know, Mike, what worries you financially is probably going to be different than what worries me financially. And there is an assumption that, well, if we're both working for a financial institution, so we're probably both doing, you know, relatively well. You know, we can put, you know, food on the table.
We're trying, we're trying.
We have a roof over our heads. But, you know, there are some differences that we noticed in the 2018 study that we decided to ask in. And when you think about, we gave them categories. So things like, are you worried about the rising cost of living, having enough money for retirement, paying monthly bills, student loans, cost of healthcare, and so on and so forth. So what we noticed once again was that, you know, all these groups were worried about the same things, but to different degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, one of the things that stood out was Native Americans and multiracial consumers were far more worried about inflation. And while about only 20% of white consumers were worried about paying student loans, about 35% of Blacks and Hispanics were more worried about that. So comparatively speaking, one in five whites were worried about that. One in three Blacks or Hispanics were worried about paying student loans.
Right.
So what does this tell you, right? Yeah. So if you're a credit union and you try to connect with consumers in levels that matters to them, it's important to know those differences.
Oh, no doubt. This is valuable information. Oh, my gosh. So what products are most important to them?
Again, we did, you know, we're CUNY Mutual, we sell a lot of different products, insurance and, payment protection and investment products. So from a loan side, right, because I think that's the bread and butter of credit unions and financial institutions, it's just loans. It's, we asked this 9,000 consumers, in the next 5 years, what products are you most likely to buy, right, in terms of loans? What lending opportunities might there be? And we found out that compared to whites, people of color and Gen Z and millennials, which we were very intentional about separating, they wanted more products. The diverse, younger, diverse groups wanted more products like mortgages and new auto loans, right? Which is surprising. I mean, the dynamics are probably changing in the past few months because of rising interest rates, right? But when we did this study back in early 2022, that's what they said. And also, more specifically, we talked about student loans. The Black consumers or African Americans, and I'm going to use both of those interchangeably.
Sure.
They were expecting to have 55% more student loans than the whites. So that was one interesting finding. Native Americans were expected to have 27% more used auto loans than whites. And I'm saying comparatively speaking to the majority of the population.
Okay.
And then Hispanics, 25% more likely to want a home mortgage. And then finally, multiracial consumers were 88% more likely to want business loans than whites.
Interesting.
Huge difference, right?
Wow. Okay. That's a biggie right there, because obviously, I mean, credit unions are getting into small business lending, or they have been, but it's a growing sector of the industry. So that would, that one I would want to dive in a little deeper on. So what do consumers want from a financial institution kind of based on these findings? I think these are kind of telling of what they want, right?
Yes, they are. So we asked the question about, instead of having, for example, in terms of having staff that represented their culture, having products that were relevant to the culture, or having marketing that was culturally relevant, right?
Yeah.
I gave an example. I wrote an article on LinkedIn about, what do Thanksgiving and quinceañeras have in common? We were just talking about Thanksgiving right before we got on the call.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what a quinceañera is, right? It's the sweet 16 kind of version, but it's 15 years old party that you have in Mexico. And so the analogy that I gave there was, let's say that you, Mike, you and your family moved to Mexico, and all of a sudden you were in a, small town, small village.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was around this time of the year, and you walked into a store and you were kind of craving that turkey. And all of a sudden you saw the corner, like this had a sign, it's like a turkey Thanksgiving package. Right, with the cranberry sauce and the stuffing and all that, and you had everything. So you're gonna be like, wow, like this chain or a grocery store really understands a sub-segment, right, or the market. They want to connect with me. So now let's turn it around, and there's a Mexican family that comes to the United States, and they have a 14-year-old daughter that has been looking forward to the quinceañera for 5 years,
right.
And all of a sudden, after a Sunday, after church, they're driving around, and all of a sudden, they need just $300 more to pay for the mariachi band for a couple of hours. And they see outside of a financial institution, quinceañera loans.
Ah.
Right? They see that. They're going to say, wait a minute. That's speaking to me. That's speaking my language.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably turn around, and they go back there on a Monday when it's open.
Check it out, for sure.
They inquire about that. And so that's what I mean by being culturally relevant, to really understand your market. Mm-hmm. So that it can resonate with consumers. And so what we found out here in terms of representation, right? Because when you walk into a branch, you want to see people that can understand, where you're coming from, whether you're Asian, Pacific, Hawaiian, or multiracial, or Black or Hispanic, having some level of representation is going to matter. What matters now, right?
Yeah.
And so these consumers, they said basically that they were less satisfied with their financial institution's efforts to connect with them in that way. less satisfied than white consumers. Mm. And so we have here, Mike, is a really, really good opportunity for credit unions to dial up their multicultural game, right? To understand what their membership looks like, mm-hmm. and understand if they have the staff that reflects their members, so that then together they can create those connections.
Yep, yep. And not only having the staff and representing the membership, the boards, all that type of stuff representing the membership, but we talk about data day in and day out. And now that we have that data, we can really address these issues, right? We can really represent in that way too, right? So and provide those products and services that go to these multicultural segments of our population. So yeah, it's so important. I'm sure you guys are all over that too. So we can't take a breath today without talking about the data. So for sure. So where can folks go for more information on this What Matters Now research? Because this is fascinating. It sounds like obviously we're just scratching the surface here for sure. There's a lot of deep diving in this research, I'm sure.
This could be a 2 or 3 hour podcast, which we don't have time for. People would probably not look at it or listen to it. But the truth is, you know, we have a 27 page report that is free.
Okay.
That people can go to cunamutual.com /. What Matters Now.
Okay.
So that's pretty simple. cunamutual.com/what matters now. And they can just type in their email address and they can get the report for free. And so that's one of the things that we can do. And the other things too is once a credit union starts to look and, you know, peruse the report and say, hey, you know what? Let's say I want to go after maybe I have a large segment of LGBTQ, consumer. And do you have data on that? We do. And as I mentioned before, we asked a battery of questions. We have, I think over, I don't know, like 300, 400 plus rows of data. Wow. And then you multiply that by the different variables. So like I want to look at LGBTQ black or low income white consumer that is between, you know, baby boomer and Gen X. We can kind of look at pivot tables, if you will, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be able to segment, oh, these are the specific preferences for that. So we have a small team. We have a small but mighty team, as you know, probably remember, that loves to look at the data, loves to connect with credit unions to have conversations about how to serve their specific members better. So both the quantitative side, the qualitative side, we can help them paint a better picture as to what, you know, is the bullseye or the target for 2023.
Yeah, can you ever? Yeah, you guys left no stone unturned in the survey for sure. It sounds like, and this is so important for a credit union's DEI journey as well, right? Because so many credit unions are on that journey, and that's going to be an ever evolving journey as well. It's never going to end. It's always going to get better and better. So this is important for that aspect as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. It is. It is a long journey. You know, CUNY Mutual is in its own journey. You know, it never stops. It just keeps going and going. And we learn something new every year. And so I think credit unions are just starting that. Or, we ask the questions when we give presentations. We say, you know, where are you on your journey? And some of them are just starting. Some of them have been at it for a little while. Mm-hmm. Some of them actually have been at it for a long time. In fact, we could probably learn a few things from them.
Yeah,
so exactly. Every time we bring credit unions here to our offices and we have a dialogue, we have them at the Exchange Center, what it used to be called the Exchange Center. Now we have a bigger room. We ask those questions and we learn just from them as much as they learn from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's a two-way street for sure. Alrighty, sir. Anything else to add to wrap up here, Edgar? I mean, again, we could probably talk 2 or 3 hours on the findings that you guys have. So tremendous data here for sure. So anything else to add to wrap up?
No, just encourage everybody to just, you know, as the year closes down, to take a look at your membership. If you are a true stage credit union, we can give you some preliminary data, high level, to show what your membership looks like in relation to your field of membership. So if, for example, you're not growing, you're not seeing a lot of growth, it might be because you don't have enough of those younger, diverse consumers that could be propelling you into getting those used auto loans, new auto loans, the mortgage and all that. So we'd be able to compare, hey, in your field of membership, there are, let's say, 30% Hispanics, but you only have 15% Hispanic millennials. And so right there is a great conversation starter, and we can do a lot more.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put the link in the show notes so people can get right to it as well, and then give you guys a call for any follow-up stuff, any follow-up information for sure. Yeah, great, great information here, Edgar. So thank you very much for hanging out with us for a few minutes to share some of the key findings. So good stuff, and look forward to talking to you in the new year, in 2023 as well.
Likewise. Mike, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And You know, send us some warm weather here in Wisconsin. it starts to get cold over here. I mean, there's snow outside in mid-November, which is typically not what we see.
Goodness. Yeah, we'll send some sunshine your way for sure. So yeah, but yeah, hang in there. Springtime's right around the corner, Edgar.
Of course it is.
Wait a minute, we haven't even started winter yet. I apologize. So anyway, hang in there. Hang out by the fire this holiday season. And again, great stuff here. And look forward to seeing you guys in 2023 when we can talk about more cool survey findings that you guys are going to do as well. So yeah, good stuff. All righty, Edgar. All right. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Be well.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye. You are welcome.